Hello, this is Pastor Corey Ehrman. You're listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses, encourages, and inspires you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. The story in Mark chapter 11. Jesus is hungry. Everyone say, Jesus was hungry. So he sees a fig tree. He goes to the fig tree. Now, if you know anything about fig trees, if there are leaves on the fig tree, then that means there must be figs. So he lifts the leaves. He doesn't find any figs. And then he says something to the tree. Let no one eat of you ever again. Right? And then he walks away. So next day they're coming around. And Peter sees that the fig tree that Jesus spoke to is dried up from the roots. All right? And then Peter says to Jesus, look, Lord, the fig tree you cursed. The fig tree you cursed. Now, did Jesus actually curse the fig tree? Like, did he say, I curse you, fig tree? No, he didn't use the word curse. But the words he spoke was almost like a curse. Let no one eat of you ever again. That means you're dead. So the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter says, look, Lord, the fig tree you cursed is dried up from the roots. And Jesus answered, Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. If you look at the footnotes in the King James, also look at the translation, many scholars believe that this Greek word or this Greek expression can also be translated, have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. How is it that you can have the God kind of faith? Let me tell you how you can have the God kind of faith. When you are a born again child of God, blood bought, blood washed, filled with the Holy Ghost, born again. When you are born again, when you are saved, you are a new creation. You receive the divine nature. You receive the God kind of life. And because you have the God kind of life, you can have the God kind of faith. Because you have God's life, you can operate like God. Because you have God's divine nature, you can operate like God. Jesus, the Word, spoke a word, and that word caused that fig tree to dry up from the roots. And when they're astonished, saying, look, Lord, the fig tree you cursed is dried up from the roots, Jesus says, answering them, answering Peter, saith unto them, have the God kind of faith. What is the God kind of faith? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, any whosoever is here tonight, who's a whosoever? Whosoever, you can put your name in there. It doesn't say, oh, the great apostle, the great preacher with the big church, the great evangelist, whosoever. Are you whosoever? Whosoever shall speak. So now he is showing us what the God kind of faith is. This is what we call the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith that shall save the sick. The prayer of faith that will move mountains. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, I don't necessarily have scripture to prove it, but I am pretty sure as they were standing there, there must have been a mountain there, because I believe that Jesus looked and pointed at a mountain and said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, because he didn't say a mountain, he said this mountain. So there must have been a mountain there, and he's pointing at this mountain. And you must understand, what is that mountain? That mountain is a pile of earth. Right? The blessing means you shall have dominion over the earth. Even though that mountain looks like this big, large piece of earth, it's still earth. Whether it's little earth or big earth, it's still earth. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, this pile of dirt, this pile of earth, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And I'm pretty sure the Sea of Galilee was right there. So what he's saying is, if you shall speak to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into that sea, right? That's the prayer of faith. That's the God kind of faith. That's how God operates. God just doesn't, God didn't think things into existence. He spoke things into existence. Let there be light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be, and then there was. And the Bible gives us Abraham's faith as an example. What is Abraham's example? In Romans chapter 4. Knowing that God calls those things which be not as though they were. He calls things into existence. He rules over all of creation. And we, being a new creation, we are at the top of the creation. We don't come from monkeys. We don't come from amoebas. Do you understand me? We are the highest ranking spirit beings in all of creation. That's why we are seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. As Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And just as the Father sent me, I send you. Go, and in my name, you can cast out demons. That means you will rule over the spirit realm. In my name, you will heal the sick. You'll rule over the physical realm. Sickness and disease is physical, and sometimes it's spiritual. You'll rule over it. You'll take up snakes. You'll trample on snakes and scorpions. These are all crawling things. These are animal. You'll rule over animal kingdom. You'll rule over the plant kingdom. And you'll rule over mountains. When you begin to get a revelation of who you are in Christ and the authority that you have in Christ in the name of Jesus, and when you get a revelation of who you are, that's why the enemy is always trying to reduce mankind into some kind of an animal. You know, if you look at what the devil's always trying to do, is trying to get people to live, literally live like animals, act like animals, think like animals. We are not animals. But people out there full of the devil, they literally act like animals. Because the enemy will take them and reduce them into acting like an animal. We are not animals. We are created in God's image. We are God kind. We have the God kind of life. We are not mankind. We are God kind. Because we are God kind, we can have the God kind of faith. Because we have the God kind of life. We have the God kind of nature. Amen. So I want you to know that you're not mankind. You were God kind, you were mankind, but now you're God kind. You were in Adam, now you're in Christ. When you were in Adam, you were mankind. The prince of the power of the air ruled over you. Just the same spirit that rules over the sons of disobedience. You were a slave of sin. You were under the power of the devil. You were fallen. You had a fallen nature. But once you got born again, hallelujah, you got God's divine nature. You're no longer mankind. You're no longer in Adam. In Adam all die. You're now in Christ. In Christ you live. And because you live, you can have living faith. What is living faith? Jesus is showing us what living faith is. Now, I don't know what your mountain is. Everyone's mountain is different. And your mountain this week may be different than your mountain next month that you will face. Maybe next year, you're going to be going through life facing certain mountains. Maybe right now you're facing a mountain of debt. And I'm going to tell you right now, what you think is a great large mountain is actually just a molehill. The enemy wants you to think it's some kind of insurmountable mountain. Whatever it is you face, you have authority over it. But nothing will change. Listen to me now. Listen, removing a mountain is changing topography, changing a whole area. Nothing will change until you open your mouth and speak. That is the God kind of faith. Whosoever, are you a whosoever? Yeah. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. So what is the condition here? You cannot have any doubt in your heart. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So whosoever shall have whatsoever. Whosoever can have whatsoever. What does whosoever have to do? Whosoever has to open his or her mouth and speak and believe in his heart. Believe in her heart. Notice Jesus says, believe one time and say or speak three times. The reason many believers don't get breakthroughs is because they believe, but they never speak. Nothing changes until you speak to it, not about it, to it. Many people are speaking about their problems, not speaking to their problems. And the more you speak about your problem, the bigger it gets. Speak to your mountain. Speak to it. In the name of Jesus, I speak to this condition. Be thou removed right now. Be thou cast into the sea. Anytime I feel any kind of symptoms coming on me, I just go, in the mighty name of Jesus, I take authority over these symptoms. Be thou removed from my body right now. You do not belong here. You are trespassing. You are trying to invade property that does not belong to you. You get off this property right now. I arrest you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God. I take authority over you and I evict you. Right now, in Jesus' name, you are illegal. That's how you speak to symptoms. You have to speak with authority. Again, the problem is many people, they just go, oh, Pastor, would you pray for my cancer? What do you mean, I pray for your cancer? What am I going to pray? I don't pray for cancer. First of all, it's not your cancer. Never say my cancer. Are you taking possession of it? Are you owning it? Are you allowing it? Are you welcoming it to move in as a guest into your house? My cancer? It's not your cancer. Don't own it. Don't claim it. And how do I pray for your cancer? Long live cancer. I don't pray for cancer. I speak to cancers. I don't pray for it. I speak to it. You foul spirit of death and cancer, I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God. I take authority over you right now and I command you in the mighty name of Jesus, be thou removed from this body right now. I pull you out by the roots. I release the fire of the Holy Ghost to come and burn out every trace of cancer. I curse every cancer cell in your body. I command it to wither up from the roots and I command it to disappear in Jesus' name. One day I was meditating on this. Why? I said to Jesus, why wouldn't he say, be thou removed or be thou made flat, but be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea? I was meditating and I was thinking, I was like asking the Lord, what is significant with the sea? And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, that is the sea of forgetfulness. Just like God says, I will remove your sins as far from you as the east is from the west, and I will bury them in the sea of forgetfulness. and I will remember them no more. That means that mountain will not only be removed, it'll be buried in the sea of forgetfulness and it will never be remembered. It'll be so removed that you will not even ever remember that it happened. You will not even ever remember it when it was there. It'll be gone for good. Its memory will be erased. That's the kind of authority that we are to speak with. And Jesus is saying this because this, remember, Peter is astonished. Peter is astonished. He says, Lord, look, look, the fig tree you cursed is dried up from the roots. And Jesus is like, don't be astonished. Why are you so surprised? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever, I'm not a pastor, you know, Pastor Corey, you know, he's been a believer a long time. He's been in ministry a long time. You know, he's a man of God. He's God's man of faith and power. I don't know that I can pray like he can pray. Yes, you can, because you're a whosoever. The only thing is that you have to be a believer. He doesn't say a pastor. He doesn't say a preacher. He doesn't say an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. He says a believer. If you shall believe and not doubt in your heart, you shall have whatsoever you say. Now, that can work against you also. Many of you have a lot of things in your life because you've spoke them into existence. You spoke yourself into depression. You spoke yourself into defeat. You spoke yourself into trouble. I've literally heard people say, oh, the flu is going around. I'll probably be one of the first to get it. I've literally heard Christians say this stuff. And I just felt like slapping their mouth, like whack it, like shut up. You will have whatever you say. Whosoever can have whatsoever they say and believe. If you get into fear, remember now, faith and fear are exactly the same in their operation. Faith believes things that are not and calls them into existence. Fear is the same way. False evidence appearing real. Fear also believes. And fear also speaks. Look at all the false prophets of media. They're always speaking fear. They're always speaking lack. We're running out of land. We're running out of oil. We're running out of food. We're running out of oxygen. We're always running out of something. We're running out of water now. The water is the next big one, by the way. Because I just heard a speech at the World Economic Forum, and the lady was speaking. She said, we failed to get everybody vaccinated. We failed to get everybody to believe the climate change agenda because it's not very personal to people. But water, they said, the next big thing is water shortage. Everybody needs water. Everybody's going to be in fear about running out of water. Running out of land. We're running. Do you realize that you can fit 10 billion people in the state of Florida? Everyone can have an acre and grow their own food. It's true. There's so much land. That's why God said to Noah, scatter. Here comes Nimrod, the first type of Antichrist. He builds this tower while everybody's mesmerized watching the tower. He's taking everything. And he gathers them around the tower. The tower was a distraction. He gave them a promise. We're going to reach the heavens. And everybody's watching this tower. Every day it goes up another meter. It goes up another meter. It goes up another meter. Everybody's there watching. One day, someday, somehow, maybe that thing's going to be high enough. We're going to reach up to the heavens. While everybody's watching him, Nimrod's taking everything. It's all smoke and mirrors. While everybody's watching the wars and rumors of wars, other things are happening behind the scenes. It's all distraction. And somebody's always making money off of it. While the innocent die and suffer like sacrificial lambs, there's always some wicked person, a cabal, making money. That's how the world system operates. But we have authority to speak to it. Why do I always tie this together? Because they're always speaking, trying to get you to believe something and get you to believe it and parrot it, repeat it. It's called indoctrination. And that's what the school system is about now too. It's no longer education, it's indoctrination. They know that if they can indoctrinate the children at a young age, they'll get them to believe it, they'll get them to speak it. Whatever they believe, whatever they speak is what will manifest. So you don't like the things in your life, you can change them by changing the words you speak. Well, I don't like my condition, my circumstances. Change it by speaking to it. But most people just speak about it. And when you're speaking about your circumstances, you're just giving a witness to them. Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses. Are you a witness of the gospel or are you a witness of the circumstances and the conditions? What are you going to witness to? How are you going to overcome the enemy? How are you going to overcome the enemy? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, your witness, the words that you speak out of your mouth, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they'll eat the fruit of it, those that love it. So you're going to eat the fruit of whatever you speak. He spoke death to that tree and it dried up from the roots. And what he's saying is, that little tree, part of creation, look at that big mountain. Not only can you move that tree, you can move that big mountain. It's all earth. It's all creation. It's all physical. You can dominate it because you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Greater is He that is in you, He that is in the world. So I need you. I want you. I challenge you to begin to speak. Begin to speak to mountains. Begin to pray the prayer of faith. Move things out of your life. You have the authority to bind and to loose. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed. Mountain is just a pile of earth. I know it looks grand, it looks big, but it's still earth. You can move a handful of earth, you can certainly move a big pile of earth as well. And this is exactly how you have to see sickness and disease, because sometimes people go, well, it's just a headache. Okay, headache is easy to heal, but cancer, no. It's the same exact thing. Don't make it any bigger than it is. Because I also deal with that too. People are willing to come, you know, I got a headache, pray for me, Pastor. But then when they get cancer or something, all of a sudden they think it's like, oh, it's incurable, you know. The doctors told me it's incurable. It's an insurmountable mountain. This mountain is too big to move. There's no difference than a headache or a cancer. You have to see it that way. You can't see cancer as this big, inconquerable Goliath, that just immovable mountain. Amen. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So when do you believe that you have them? When you pray. See, here's the problem. Some of you have been asking for the same thing for the 100th time. Smith Wigglesworth said, if you've prayed for something 11 times, you pray 10 times in unbelief. What does that mean? You pray once, you believe that it's done. After that, you don't keep asking, you just keep thanking that it's done. Lord, I thank you. I asked for it. I believe it. I received it. It's mine. And I just thank you. Well, where is it? I don't see it. No. You have it. Sometimes it'll manifest instantly. Other things will be the next day. Some things will be next week. Some things will be a few years down the line. But there's a timing in everything. But let me tell you though, when it comes to sickness or disease, you need to receive it now. Don't put it off. There are certain things that you just need to get a hold of now, instantly. Don't delay it. Don't wait. And I believe what happens with many Christians is they pray, but they don't really believe it. Or, again, many times it's not a lack of faith, but it's a lack of fight. They're not fighting the good fight of faith. What does that mean? They prayed, but then they just kind of waver. Or they just kind of put it in cruise control and just kind of go, yeah, I know, I have it. But they're not really pressing in. Listen, you got to really take a hold of the things of God, because the enemy doesn't give you a free run up the side. He comes very aggressively, and you're going to have to have aggressive faith. Some of y'all don't have it. Your faith is not aggressive enough. You need to have aggressive faith. Like David, when he went up to Goliath, he's running up to Goliath, and as he's running up to Goliath, he's speaking, today, I will feed your carcass to the birds of the air, and today I will take your head off. And he's running at this giant saying it. And he's going, and the stone only knocked him out. But then he took Goliath's sword and chopped off his head. Head represents authority. And the sword represents the word. Listen now. He took the enemy's own words and chopped his head off with it. Because remember what the enemy's word was? What did they say about Goliath? He's a champion. He's the champion. He's a conqueror. David said, I am more than a conqueror. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the prayer of faith. There is no if, but maybe in the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith is speaking with authority. So what James is saying is, if anyone is sick among you, call for the elders of the church. Eldership, obviously, that represents pastoral authority of the local church, leadership of the local church. That's representing authority. Call for the authority, spiritual authority. And let the spiritual authority anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So when I pray for people, I don't pray and, well, hope something happens. Well, let's try. I'm hoping and praying. No. If I anoint you with oil and I lay hands on you, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that God, the power of God is going to smack you and destroy the work of the enemy, whatever the work of the enemy is in your life. It's going to be destroyed. The anointing shall destroy the yoke. I believe it. Beyond the shadow of any doubt. But you have to engage your faith as well. And we can come to the place where we join our faith together, come into agreement. Because many times I'll lay hands on people, I feel the anointing go out and come right back to me. It's like laying hands on a refrigerator. It's like laying hands on a wall. I literally feel the anointing bounce. Sometimes I lay hands on people, I feel the anointing pass over them, hit the person behind them. Sometimes I'm laying hands on people and I watch the catchers are getting smashed. And I look at the person and they go, remember, I tell them, stop, don't walk out of it. Receive it, let it go right through you. Because it's touching them and they're going like this. And if I let them go, they're going to go all the way into the parking lot and end up in the in the neighbor's backyard. Get back here. Receive what I'm when I lay hands on you, receive it. Let it go right through you. Don't walk out of it. And people don't understand it, but they're literally walking out of the anointing. They're backing off, backing up, backing off, backing off. Stop. Get back here. And I'll lay hands on them. I'll take it, receive it, receive it. Because I feel the anointing coming on them. Take it, take it, take it now. Others, I don't even get to lay hands on them. I just turn, look at them, they're gone. They're so ready. I'm going down the line. Oh, this one's already gone. All right. Oh, that one's gone too. Oh, look at that one. And then I'll come and lay hands on others. It's like laying hands on a stone wall. Now, I understand you have to teach people how to receive. Some people have never even been around the anointing, never been in a church like this where people, you know, have never even had hands laid on them. You know, and they don't know how to receive. So it's important. You can't just go laying hands on people. That's why I teach people how to receive. Teach them how to yield. Because it's not about falling, because people will come up and go, well, I pray for me, pray for my cancer, but I don't want to fall. It's like, oh my God, I got. Put them on the train to healing school. They need to be there for 2 weeks. I mean, because I mean, I can lay hands on them, but man, it's like, they got so much stuff in here, they need their minds renewed. That's why the healing school and, you know, I mean, people, who's gone to the healing school in Tampa? We've had healing schools here. I mean, 2 weeks, we'll do like a whole afternoon, a whole day. I mean, and it's just to get people saturated in the Word, to brainwash them. Because their brains are filthy, full of religious garbage, doubt and unbelief. And then when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, that your Father, who's also in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. That's why James also says, said the prayer of faith shall save the sick and their sins will be forgiven. Because one of the biggest hindrances to people receiving is unforgiveness, because unforgiveness clutters their heart. Unforgiveness hardens their heart. They can't receive because of unforgiveness. And that's why Jesus says, when you stand to pray, forgive. Because if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you can't pray the prayer of faith. It hinders your faith. So lift your hands right now before I pray for everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now over everyone in Jesus' name. If there's anything in their hearts against anyone, any offense, any bitterness, any resentment, any unforgiveness, may you deal with their hearts right now. May you deal with their hearts right now in the name of Jesus. And they can release these people. And as you bring certain people and certain things to their minds, to their memory right now, and they forgive in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, just right now, release these people. Forgive. Just say, Lord, I forgive. Maybe it's the person. Name the person. I forgive. I forgive this such and such person. And I not only forgive, I take this situation and I, the first mountain you're going to speak is going to be that mountain of offense. Be thou removed from my heart, be thou cast into the sea of forgetfulness. I not only forgive, I forget. I will remember no more what they have done to me. I will not remember it. I will no longer have a recollection of it. I will no longer keep speaking it. I let it go and I release it. Because here's the thing, you forgive them, but then you go speaking about it again and it comes back. Forgive it, forgive and forget. Let it go. Be done with it. Be done with it. Come on, forgive. Forgive. Because if you are to have the faith of God, you have to have the part of God. And guess what? God has forgiven you. There's no unforgiveness in God's heart toward you. And guess what? God doesn't come and remind you of your sins. Remember when you were an idiot 10 years ago and you did this and that? Remember when you were so dumb? Remember when you were so terrible, you did this? He doesn't say any of that to you. That's why to operate like God, we also have to operate in forgiveness. Because if you don't operate in forgiveness, if you don't operate in grace, you can't operate in faith, because faith and grace work together. So forgive right now. Forgive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And also, another thing I need to say, because there are certain people, maybe you're here tonight, or you're watching, or you'll be listening to this at a later time, and you said this, I just don't have enough faith. That's a lie. You have faith. Bible says God's given to everyone a measure of faith. Well, my measure is so small. Well, Jesus said, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. So it's not necessarily the size of your faith. You have enough faith. Faith as small as a mustard seed when spoken. Unspoken faith is what's ineffective faith. Spoken faith, living faith. Faith that's alive. Dead people don't speak. It's only people who are alive that speak. Living faith is a speaking faith. Dead faith is a faith that doesn't speak. Faith without works is dead. Your mouth has got to be working for you, not against you. Work your mouth. Work the word. Speak the word. In the mighty name of Jesus, speak the word. Speak it. You need to have faith confessions that you are speaking every day. You need to have goals for your faith. You need to know exactly and specifically. Don't pray general prayers. Nothing irritates me more than when I sit to eat and I have somebody there and they pray, oh God, feed everybody in the world. Like, I mean, it's just that. And then yet they're still hungry people. Why? Because it doesn't work. Faith only works when it's specific. You have to attach your faith to something specific. This mountain. He didn't say just pray that any mountain would move. This mountain. So attach your faith to specific things and speak them. Speak them with authority. Shout if you have to. God's not nervous. He's not deaf, but he's also not nervous. And you're not shouting for him, you're shouting for you. So take the word and speak it with authority and speak it loudly. When I pray for somebody sick or somebody that brings to me somebody with cancer, I don't go, in the name of Jesus, I take authority of this cancer. In the name of Jesus, you foul spirit of death and cancer, I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God. I take authority over you and I bind you and I rebuke you. You ever notice you're talking to your kids? Johnny, put your toys away. Nothing happens. Johnny, put your toes away. And all of a sudden, Johnny moves. I said, Johnny, now. I said, devil, now.
Thank you for tuning into my podcast. I hope that you have been blessed. I would like for you to consider two things. Number one, subscribe to our show to receive notifications of our new podcasts. Number two, support our ministry of reaching the nations with revival by clicking on the link in the description or visiting our website, riverwpb.com. Thank you for tuning in. Look forward to you joining our next podcast. God bless you.